American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting from the internet for Monday, December the 6th! Oh my god, we're into December! Hang on! We're gonna have the shopping mindfuck for 2010, and you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for Your Headspace and Timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, which is still located at sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Talk, Red Mercury, SES, RN1, Wild Bunch Radio, Gajag Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night at about 7 o'clock, provided we don't get carried away on some psycho amount of banter talking about all things that we have to even remember to bring up during the show. You can catch us at Second Life, Node Archers at grid coordinates 155-74666. And with us tonight, we have Dawn, Xerxes, Agent Dak, Ahava, Balls, Bash, Bushido, Karzan, Sirdark, Fuchikoma, Jonas, Lachlan, Morph Sky Tower, Rashnarok, Sophia Numina, Fat Ninja, Avigdu, Mr. Kane, and Fuchikoma gets my favorite name award for the night. But let's not forget the man who makes it all possible, the long suffering. The long, long suffering, the saint of the internet. I mean, the man Sumerian, who I am blessed to have, you know, as a friend and as a colleague during this, especially now that we're into this. Oh, the Christmas season. Hoorah! Are you ready for it, Simi? Are you feeling
the
me,
holy,
Jesus? You know, like...
the holy high holidays, yes.
You know, and the funny thing is I like Christmas. I do. I really do. I like Christmas.
Why? What? What about it? What about it? Do you like the mass consumerism?
You want me to make... I'll give you...
The joining...
No, I like the... I like the
visiting
trees,
of the family.
Snow, I like Christmas lights. I like Christmas carols. I like all the baked goods from a variety of cultures all over Europe, and they're all delicious. I like the ideas of lots of eating. I like staying up late. I like food that smells good. I like people being forced to be nice to each other. I think that that's a good thing. I think that that's necessary, because it's fucking Christmas. But, you know, I really hate that guy. Whatever, it's fucking Christmas. Get over it. All right, we'll do it. It's Christmas. Whatever. And maybe you can stretch that shit out. Maybe you can, like, make it last just a little bit longer, but it's like having a rave or a party or whatever. It's important. It's not the show. We do the show every Thursday at 7. Every year at this time, we have this big festival where everybody just gets along and holds hands, and we're going to do this. All right, and it sucks, and I know, and maybe it's not that great, and it's been gray and black and dreary and raining, and everything sucks, and we get a meter of water in like 2 weeks in Vancouver, but that's fine. Fuck it. We're going to do Christmas, right? And that's what it is, and I like that. I think it's a positive thing. I think it forces you to, you know, get over your own shit and have to deal with people. It's also, you know, some people, that's the only kind of concept of family you have. Mind you, there's a downside to that. Of course, you got a lot of suicides at Christmas. Some people say that's an urban myth. Some people say that's an urban myth. It's not actually true. But I think there's a lot more stress, for sure, at Christmas. What I don't like about Christmas is the stuff that makes me go, oh, God, which is the super saturation of shopping, which is crammed down my throat. It's like they psychologically pull a gun on you that looks an awful lot like a depraved, deprived, starving four-year-old that, you know, you're the only hope that he can have any joy ever in his miserable fucking life if you don't give us $5 right now and do this for this child at Christmas. Like, you know, this kind of a thing, or you got the charities and all that stuff. Oh, that crap just makes me nuts. It makes me crazy. I can't... I can't deal with it. And the radio, you can't get away from it. It's everywhere. And yeah, I like carols, okay? I like some good Christmas carols. As a matter of fact, I like the Christmas carols you buy. I like buying the CDs you get from, like, actual choirs, like real choirs. Because if you haven't checked out choral music, I get in shit from my friends on Facebook because I like more than one or two kinds of music, which I think is childish, but whatever, you know, that's your friends, you know, but I love choral music. Anybody who's ever heard anything I've done, especially with After Now, I have a huge appreciation for instrumental music. I love it. It's fantastic. And, it's to, you know, at Christmas, you want to have like decent Christmas music. You want to have like some good choir music. And that's cool. I could play that all day. The CBC is good for that, but I cannot take another modern remake album of like Kanye West doing Jingle Bells. Like, I can't take that. Okay. Like, I'm not going to listen to your, it pollutes it, you know, and then the shopping and everything, it kind of distorts what the whole holiday is supposed to be about. So while I agree with you, Sim, that, you know, there's no God. Okay. Yeah. All right. There's no invisible sky wizard. You fucking heathen, pagan, Luddite assholes. I hate your God. Okay. Good. Good. James, we got it. Okay. We're good.
Like that has anything to do with modern Christmas anyway.
It does for a lot of people. You'll be pleased to know? I don't know. Would you be unpleased to know? Would you rather it not have anything to do? I mean,
I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah, you do care, you big liar. Otherwise, you wouldn't be. Come on. You totally care. You totally care. But, I mean, what would you rather have? Would you rather be, you know, it's the devil you know or the devil you don't? I guess, you know, shoppers haven't really murdered millions of people, but they just haven't been around. I mean, I'm afraid to see what you
no,
do.
No, just one at a time in the stampedes for Black Friday and Boxing Day.
Oh, don't even talk to me. Don't even talk to me on the radio, this Black Friday thing. Like, okay.
I'll kill you for that piece of product.
I want the Crocs for $2. Like, come on. Really?
Yeah.
You know, has retail therapy become that much of a fix? You know, I'd love it if they would have, you know, do you ever play laser tag and they got those like little rooms they put you in before they unleash you in the laser tag chamber and it's on springs and you're supposed to jump up and down inside this room in the dark and you're like, and you get yourself all pumped up and then they open the doors and you run and you're shooting at people and it's a big good time. So they're finding all sorts of links on that. That Weekly World News thing. I have to stop reading the chat.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Never read the chat.
Never read the chat. Never read the chat. But, you know, that's what it is on Black Friday. You know, if you could line them all up. And, like, the woman who started camping out, like, a week prior, and they show up and they gave her an iPad. They rewarded that behavior. That's totally now. Next week, it's going to be like, people are going to start lining up, like, you know, for the 2011 sale. And, you know, like, come on. Really? Like, oh, it's sickening. It's sickening, people. You hang on to your money. Don't buy stuff you don't need. Buy good kit. Buy it once and then just, you know, hang back. You know, figure out something.
That's not in the spirit of Christmas. Giving little trinkets to every single person you know.
Okay, first of all, you know, not to be a prick here, but don't lecture me in the spirit of Christmas, all right? If anybody's going to lecture, I'm going to totally claim authority on we're told that by the modern media. I'm here to tell you. Yes. The buying stuff. Okay, well, all right. But let's think about this, Sim. Everybody likes presents. Universal truth. Everybody likes...
Not useless presents. I hate clutter that I just have to keep for a little while.
All right, so you're
going to
put a disclaimer
on it. To make people happy and then throw it away.
Right.
Good presents, yes. I would rather receive no presents than bad presents that I have to throw away.
Wow, you're a prick to shop for. I couldn't imagine that. Well...
No, very easy. Don't get me anything if you don't find something nice.
No, I'm going to get you a velvet Elvis painting, actually, is what I'm going to get you. I should. They're worth fat coin. An actual velvet Elvis? Velvises, I think they're called? I'm not even making this up. I'm not making this up. No, I'm not joking.
Synthetic. Synthetic velvet. Make sure it's synthetic, not animal velvet.
Animal? What? Nobody paints on animal velvet, you psycho. Who would? Why? They never made velvet for animals, did they? Did they? Really? Huh.
Yep.
Wow. What animal? I'd like to get me one of those. What does it taste like?
Open it up. Silk.
What?
Often made from silk. So.
Well, oh, those worms. Stealing their homes.
That's right.
That's right.
Enslaved.
Enslaved worms. One day they'll rise up against us. Yeah. Parachuting airborne worms. But anyway, the point, getting away from that, back to the original point of the whole thing. Christmas. I think that, well, you know, it's going to be here every year. So, you know, it's a good enough excuse. And if nothing else, it's a good reason to drink. You know, I mean, you can get a good drunk on. You know, and you're allowed to be pretty horrible.
Maybe that's
sloshed.
My problem.
You're not drinking enough? Well, that's a given. Yeah, there's a lot of things that can be cured with you if I could get you drunk for about 2 months with some barbecues. Yeah.
Drunk and eating meat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd force you to kill stuff. You know, it'd be some weird, deranged Lord of the Flies movie where, like, I'll make you kill something, and then eventually you'd start to like it and, you know, totally get into it.
Wear its skin.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, you know, dancing around in the moonlight, that kind of stuff. Let the royal rumpus begin. You betcha. So, I think that would fix you right up. I am a little bit sick tonight.
That's right.
I don't know if you can tell.
Oh.
But I'm a little,
no,
yeah.
I didn't until you mentioned
up.
It.
I took
then
some
I'm
kind
like,
of
oh,
antihistamine,
yeah.
And all it did was sort of make my head feel like sort of a solid block of snot versus a liquid block of snot. But,
well,
yeah.
That's a change.
So, you know, I can talk. Which
something different.
And you know, the thing is with these, what did I take? I can't even remember what it was. I think it was a Sudafed. The one of the ones for your sinuses anyway, but it totally
on
is.
The pharma. Yeah,
well, you know, it's you gotta do the show's gotta happen. Sim, did you do your show today?
That's right. Yes, I did.
Otherwise, yes. You get behind the eight ball, and we all know what it's like to be behind the eight ball on a show. It sucks. There's few things
right.
worse than being
no good
ball. No good at all.
Yeah,
so as long as we're here, let's talk about some news and information news. Now this is the first lead story. Now I try not to do stories that I know you're going to cover, but your show is essentially about the loss of rights and how our society is going to get railroaded into the floor, which is why you're the International Pirate Party show, which my show is supposed to be like covering the cyberpunk sort of movement, which is going to be more about the documentation about how all my cyberpunk friends go into concentration camps. But, you know, so our stories are starting to overlap a little bit, but we try to, you know, liven it up. But anyway, information news.
That's true. Yeah.
Senator Joseph Lieberman, chairman of the Senate of Homeland and Government Affairs Committee, argues that Obama's administration to shut down WikiLeaks, reports the National Review. I also urge the Obama administration, both on its own and in cooperation with other responsible government around the world, to use all legal means necessary to shut down WikiLeaks before it can do any more damage by releasing additional cables. These cables they release, they'll flood across the ocean. WikiLeaks activities represent a shared threat to the collective international security. Because it's all built on lies.
That's right. Don't break our lies. We're just getting good at
expose us. Don't show the world what we are. The truth is a beautiful thing. The truth will set you free. You know, it's pretty.
If you didn't want it on the internet, you shouldn't have said it, government.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they say to us. If you're not doing anything wrong, then all that kind
Well, it's
of
good
crap.
For goose, it's good for gander. I mean, if they're going to be surveilled, I suppose that's why. So now the government's all about privacy, right? If anyone says privacy's not a good thing, I mean, well, WikiLeaks, that's a good argument for privacy right there, don't you think? So how about this, government? Either there's privacy and we get rid of WikiLeaks and that's your concession, or there's no privacy and fuck you, we keep WikiLeaks. Like, that's good for goose, good for gander. That's what you got, man, because that's what it's going to be. Do you think you're going to be able... You can't stop. They could shoot... If they actually shoot that fair-haired Julian Assange, man, he'd be great. They'd canonize him. They'd turn him into a god. He'd be the internet's version of Bruce Lee. Are you kidding?
And the next day, there'd be WikiLeaks 2, 3, 4, and 5 put up.
Oh, he'd have...
And it'd just be... It'd be on.
You couldn't get rid of it. It'd be a plague, right? You know, which is funny now. This is even going on to say that people are considering WikiLeaks and exposure, truth-seeking, that's all terrorism. And as WikiLeaks says, this is not terrorism. This is democracy at its most basic. This is exposure. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. I know it sucks. I'm the guy who likes Blackwater, remember? I mean, it sucks that, you know, there is special operations that go on. And, we do have to kill people. I mean, if it's known now and there's not lives on the line, I should put that caveat in there. If there's a ball in play and by exposing this you will kill people, then no, wait until the mission is over. But the minute the mission's over, everything gets judged. Okay, no more fucking missions until, you know, this mission is over. Like, wait for the game to be over so that you don't get people involved in this situation killed. But generally, like, you don't want active... I don't think they should be publishing who's actually spies working in other countries. You know, that's not on. Absolutely not. Because that's... you're crossing over into a level of espionage there. But, of course, this is all...
I haven't read anything that suggests that, though, so far. All the government has said, no, none of this is real. It doesn't really affect us. Doesn't affect our national security. Nothing released is that big. They keep saying that. But on the other side, they say, we got to shut this down. It could be potentially bad.
Well, it's something they don't control. It's a variable they don't control. Yeah. And now a lot of arrogance and a lot... Because Canada's always like, you know, we're kind of the pussies of the planet, right? Everybody's like, oh, Canada, a bunch of fucking pushovers. We're like the chump at the party. But we're the guy who is always at the party. And we're pretty good people. And you're always going to invite the Canadians around. And, you know, we maybe don't make a big show about it, but we're pretty good guys, you know. But we're just people who happen to live in Canada. We're not intrinsically better than the Japanese. We're not intrinsically better than the Russians. I think we got a lot in common. Probably because Canada's only existed, really, for about 200 years, so we're made up of everybody from every other country. I think Canada should take over the world. You know, what if we just did it through, like, apathy? You know, what if we could... Seriously, Canada just invades. What are you doing? We're here to fight. No. All you Marines, you guys have the coolest kit ever. Can you come be our army? You guys can wear whatever the fuck you want. We'll give you our gas. Just come work for us. The Marine Corps is older than America anyway. You know, and I think, honestly, just bring the Constitution with you. Set up shop up here, okay? Get rid of the whole French thing. We'll just deal with that, and, you know, we'll just carry on.
Just deal with that.
You know, we'll sort it out. You know, I mean, they could join up, have a couple languages. Sure. I mean, we're going to have multiple languages anyway. You know, but, I mean, I think that if you're going to be multicultural, I think the only way you can do that is to take the best parts from every culture and make a better culture. I don't think the idea of remaining distinctive is really... all that great. All you wind up doing is isolating people, right? It's like...
That's right. Creating divisions.
You know, it's like that whole Morgan Freeman clip about, you know, that's sort of how I look at it, but it's such a touchy issue. People freak out about that. So not to...
It is.
Not to, you know, but you got to keep talking about it and being honest, and that's what this information... Now, Sim, you must have, like, this WikiLeaks thing has got to be, like, big all over your show, right? I mean, you've got to be covering this 6 ways from Sunday.
I touch on it here and there because it's so... It's in the mainstream media, so I don't really... I try and touch on stories that really aren't reported about it too much, like the side stories that are more important, like how they're using this as an excuse to railroad through things.
Where's the target? Never mind on the diversion.
Yes.
I want to look at the meat.
Setting up new laws about whistleblowers in the U.S. trying to divert people from going to WikiLeaks and trying to keep it in the government and saying, no, you can come to us and tell us your secrets. Don't go to WikiLeaks. And they're rushing through bills and protecting whistleblowers, which they're just going to send the whistleblowers into the dev null bin and into the garbage and go, yep, thanks for your contribution, we'll look into that. Yep.
Yeah, and you're not going to get... Well, that's the whole purpose of having a free and open media. I think that I think that they're trying to find a way to kill this Julian Assange kid. They're trying to figure out a way to take him down. That's what the sex charge is about. I don't think he's guilty of any charge. I think that's happy horse shit. That's total... I mean, I don't know. I'm not there. That's not the charge.
Who knows? Coincidental, but it's an ad hominem attack argument.
Who cares? Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
Yeah, if okay.
He's a rapist, but who cares? Does that have any impact on what he's released?
Sure. And what does that have to do with...
Does it make
anything?
It false?
Yeah, no, that's straw man is what that is. And so that's why I think it's... And you look at the guy, and I don't know, the guy doesn't look like a rapist to me. And I get probably in shit for saying, what are you, some authority on rapists or something? But I don't know. The whole thing just kind of... it doesn't feel right, you know? I think that there's something going on here. And you know, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, he kind of looks a bit like a super Bond. You know, James Bond supervillain or whatever. You know, you could totally...
But the hair, you know?
Yeah, you know, with the hair and everything, you could probably be a supervillain. But speaking of James Bond and supervillains, how about the Russians? Hey, some good space news. Loving this. Crazy Russians.
Woo.
Craziest people on the planet, the Russians. Oh my gosh. Russia has announced it will be investing $2 billion in a program to capture some of the thousands of pieces of dangerous debris that threaten the future of space technology. How might it work?
Nice.
Energia, Russia's space corporation, has revealed plans to build a space pod, which will grab around 600 defunct satellites and then safely deorbit them so that they can either burn up in the atmosphere or splash down on the ocean. They don't crash them, they just deorbit. As you prepare to deorbit.
Galaxy 15!
The Russians are going after Galaxy 15. Son of a bitch! Yep. Galaxy, you rebroadcast this. Be warned, the Russians are coming. The pod will rely on a nuclear power core and cost around $2 billion to develop and deploy. Whew. Ding! Wait! You now have a nuclear satellite floating around the planet. The pod will rely... Just kind of glaze over that. The pod will rely on a nuclear power core and cost around $2 billion. Ah, Energia plans to complete a design and testing by 2020 and have it serviced no later than 2023. So we got some time here. The operating lifespan of about 15 years. The company is also said to have been working on a space interceptor capable of tackling any dangerous objects from the outer solar system, which may be on a collision course with Earth. Wait, the company also said it's been working on a space interceptor capable of tackling any dangerous objects from the outer solar system that may be on a collision course with Earth. Now, remember the news story that I covered a while back where they were suddenly talking about anti-space weapons and stuff like this? And meanwhile, there's all these UFO reports coming up. So, you know, if the Russians were going to start putting armaments in space and not make it look like a big deal, how would they do that? You know, honestly?
Perfect for that.
Yeah.
We're just cleaning up. We're just
we're
the
just
janitors.
Cleaning up, you know, we're going to put this nuclear-powered satellite up there that's just picking up the garbage and safely deorbiting things. And it's also got an interceptor. Yeah.
It'll kill big objects.
Well, an interceptor is a craft that it's a fighter craft. That's why it intercepts oncoming things. So it's like, is there something going on by 2050 that we don't know about? Yeah. And that interceptor needs to be functional by 2032 in June.
Yeah,
at the latest.
Yeah, have it in service no later than 2023. No later.
No later.
We will die if it's not up there.
Because they're coming. And our guesstimates based on their current speed trajectory that they will be reaching the Earth in 2023. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe that's when we're going to pick it up in 2012, you know? So the Russians, this is what they're doing, which I'm like, wow, hey, that's pretty cool. I mean, space stuff, right, on the upside. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how happy I am about having a Russian-made nuclear reactor flying around up there. Happy sky clearance, but, you know, it's that thing rains down on the wrong part of the world, and you could have a real problem. You know, I mean, that's don't drop the beaker. Because that one's one's bad, you know, especially hits a city or something. And and shit happens. There's a lot of stuff flying around up there, right? But the thing that gets me is the interceptor, you know, like, oof.
Yeah, that's interesting because, I mean, how big of an asteroid are they planning to be able to intercept and destroy? Like, some of them.
Asteroid. That was the neat part. That's the neat part. Objects tackling dangerous objects from the outer solar system. A space interceptor capable of tackling any dangerous objects from the outer solar system that may be on a collision course with Earth.
Mm.
Wow.
Need more data.
I want to be the guy flying that ship. What is your job? I'm a pilot. I fly a space interceptor capable of intercepting dangerous objects on a collision course with Earth.
That's right.
You know? Wow. That'd be great.
Pat in your resume.
Huh. Well, what's above that? You know, really? You know, I'm going to die doing this one. Shoot me down out of the sky.
Nothing.
I'll be a hero. Yeah. Wow.
I defend Earth.
That's right. That's what they do. So, which makes me go, from what, guys?
All of it? Yes.
Yeah,
all of it.
What aren't you telling us? What's not going on here with this UFO thing? Did you see that one I posted on Twitter a while ago? Anybody who hasn't, like...
Which one?
Well, I did one. It was a UFO posting. I call it Swamp Gas. You can usually do a search. And I put it up there. And it's video footage of this UFO that was filmed on Buddy's phone. And the interesting thing is that if there was UFOs and they were around, all of these cell phones would produce more footage of them because now everybody's got a camera phone. Everybody has a camera. Before, the people say, "Oh, I saw this." And they do, well, did you take pictures? No, I didn't have a camera, which is understandable. Not everyone used to carry around a camera in the 80s. It was weird to have a camera.
Yeah, now they do.
Now they do. So you would think, then, if there's all these alien sightings, that the alien sightings would be going way up, right? There'd be lots and lots of footage of these UFOs.
Yeah.
Turns out there is. There's gobs of it.
Mm.
Tons of it. And you start looking at some of these, and some of them, you're like, yeah, okay, someone's probably screwing around. Yeah, maybe one or two of them, but after you get a certain level in professionalism, you're not into making fake UFO videos anymore. You know what I mean? That's not something that you do. So what do you do? You know, so you have some of these, and yeah, a lot of them are fake, but there's always ones that are not so fake. So that is a bit of a misnomer. So you take that and you isolate that and you put that off to the side. And then you look at how Russia is building a nuclear-powered garbage collector in space with a space interceptor vehicle on it. Which kind of makes me go, And then you look over at the United States, and they're like, yes, we're building a global defense shield. And we are most definitely going to be, you know, tackling outside space intruders. I mean, objects that could be coming. You know, and that sort of makes me go,
possibly.
You know, maybe I should be getting the concept of being mobile. You know, I like the idea of being mobile, maybe I should have a boat, or perhaps a large suburban.
Get away from large cities.
Yeah, you know, that's, don't bunch up. Don't bunch up. Remember your spacing, people. Remember your spacing.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
if they're conserving firepower, they'll hit for the big clusters.
That's
stay
right.
Stay apart.
That's right. So, you know, die running, find out where the tunnels are. You know, really, orbital bombardment, get to the tunnels. Tunnels are good, yeah. Especially if they're good, thick tunnels, not like the little cheap chintz.
From radiation.
Tunnels. Well, yep. And, you know, falling debris, you know, because if it's going to be that kind of a bomb going off in a good tunnel, there's the risk of cave-in on a direct hit, but if you're on a direct hit when a tunnel goes anywhere, when a bomb hits anyway, you're done.
Collecting the space debris is a perfect cover for when they shoot down the spacecraft and there's parts falling from the skies. Oh, it's just the satellites. Don't look at it. We'll come and collect it. Don't touch it. It's radiated.
Well,
it's,
actually,
it's
there's laws against
it.
That. Did you know that? There's all kinds of laws on the books against...
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, dude, you can't collect rainwater. Can you imagine if a satellite fell in your yard? Hell no.
That's true.
Hell no. You can't, you know, you can't...
That's owned by somebody.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
touch it.
Yeah, no, that's...
Destroyed my house. Well, yeah. Don't touch it. Get out of your house. You're not getting money
that's right.
for that
you know,
either.
There's, it's, although it's full of gold, most of the satellites are loaded with gold because they're the wiring.
Oh.
Yeah, the gold that's wiring true. And chips. Yeah, there's huge amounts of gold in them, but, you know... So, yeah, happy sky clearance. Anyway. But, you know, of course, you can't. Of course, if you get that, you don't even own the things you own anymore. Now we have some illegal modification news. Thanks to Circus for sending this in. Did a lovely job. A Southern California 28-year-old Matthew Crippen is about to appear in front of a jury today on criminal charges of violating copyright law by modifying Xbox 360 consoles in order to play pirated games. Charged with two counts of violating the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, or DMCA, he faces a maximum 3 years in prison if convicted. This case, the first criminal trial regarding mod chips, could develop a precedent for future cases involving console modification. Simi, you must have talked about this on your show. Were you aware of this particular bad boy?
I did. I caught it in the middle of the trial. Somebody just posted in the chat that they dropped the case. And the judge was just yelling at the people that brought this case to court because one of the guys who was on the prosecution back in before he worked for Microsoft, because this is an Xbox console, right? When he was in university, he did this himself. So he technically broke the law. Before. Now he's going after people who are doing the exact same thing he did before he went to work with Microsoft. So luckily somebody said it, they threw it out, and we get to live another day. We're tinkering with stuff that we purchased that apparently is ours for now until they take us into court and throw us in jail for opening up the magic box.
Well, that's why, you know, in the After Now stories, they hide all the soldering equipment, right? In the arcologies, like kids are making their own soldering stuff because it's illegal to have any kind of electronics equipment. That's like
true.
That's a big no-no. So yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty... Well, I'm glad that's got a happy ending. I'm glad that's got a happy ending, because that was that one could have been bad.
But this corporate control, it's getting out of control. How much sway they have in the government and on the internet now.
I think it was always there. I'm just glad we're able to see it now. It's just so blatant now that they don't even try to hide it. You know, but that's all part of the whole cyberpunk thing, right? You know, you go look at the old Shadowrun games and stuff like that, and that's how it was, SLA Industries. Now, of course, in those games, you have the Ripper Docs. They were the traveling doctors, and now we got this new Vulture Doc thing on the go. Now, this might sound a little disturbing to some people, but a new pilot program will attempt to recover kidneys from people who die at homes in Manhattan. A team of organ specialists will have about 20 minutes after a cardiac arrest patient is declared dead to arrive at the home, check a donor registry, determine medical eligibility, obtain a family member's consent, get the person into specialized ambulance. This team will monitor 911 calls about people in danger of dying, and they will travel directly to the person's home without being summoned.
What?
The program is being launched on Wednesday. It could eventually lead to thousands more organs donated every year. But the 5-month trial collection between Bellevue Hospital and New York City's fire departments could be declared a success without a single organ being recovered, organizers say. It's being called the Organ Donation Unit, ODU. It's being funded by a $1.5 million grant from the Department of Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA. The team, composed of 2 EMTs, an organ donor family services specialist. Hello? I am here to talk to you about your family. And I am the organ donor family services specialist, or the organ donor family SS, as we like to be called. And Bellevue emergency physician. These guys are like a tack team that shows up with, you know, some slick dude in a suit. Hi there. Can't help but notice you're dying. In the unlikely event of your death, which is forthcoming, you might want to think about what kind of legacy you're going to leave behind, you know? And despite anything else you may have screwed up in your life, you've got a couple of good kidneys right now that we can use. And you could save a life. What do you say? You know, holy crap. They will interact with grieving and shocked family members in the limited time available before it's too late to use the person's organs. There's no time, Jack. Jack, we're an organ donor now. There's no time! A police detective will arrive at the scene before the team to make sure that there's nothing about the death that warrants a criminal investigation. So there's some poor cop that has to control the special services and this ERT team. He died. What happened? He fell. What do you mean? The guy, he stubbed his toe. Oh, he fell when we got here. He's got his kidneys. We got his consent form. He signed it.
Did they work on commission?
Yeah. I hope so. That'd be the most sacrifice. That would be... The project is very, very modest. But
$5 a liver, $20 a heart.
Yeah, that'd be... I mean, the funny thing is I actually think this is a good idea. That's the really funny thing. Is that, no, because these guys are going to save lives directly. Yeah. These guys are going to save lives directly. Every organ that they recover is going to save somebody's life.
Yes. Yes. But done properly, not sent out whenever they hear the cry of a person fall to the ground.
It's a little vulture.
I heard someone fall.
Yeah, I know.
Woo, 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 woo. I'm not dead yet. There's an exact thing from Monty Python's meaning. And I posted in the chat about this. It's called Organ Donor. And they go to somebody's house and kill him while he's alive and take his organs. It's so funny.
Is this your signature on the card? Yeah, what was it say? Well, we're here for the kidney, then, aren't we? It's pretty brutal, man. It's definitely pretty brutal. But I think it's kind of funny. I do. And at the end of the day, although there's going to be a lot of people crying and stuff, there comes a point when all that grief just sort of becomes sort of funny. You know, and I think I'm at with my particular sads, my November sads. I've reached a level of bitterness now that I'm actually at the point now where everything's kind of funny now. You know what I mean? It's like it's like Richard Cheese singing "People Equals Shit." Like that's totally where I'm at with the. And then once you reach that level, you're okay with it. You can get through the depression. You're like, whatever. I've got a flamethrower, you know. And that's where
it's
you need
to be. It's all crap anyway.
It's all crap anyway. Come on, everybody's got to die. So it's once you get to that point, it's just a matter of getting over your own crap. during this particular time of the year. And if we could do that, you know, we'll be fine. But, you know, getting over your crap, sometimes you could hurt yourself. And I'm not too sure that I'd want to have a team of shock troops with a family services specialist show up and be like, so, your daughter... how do they counsel for that? And honestly, these people who's injured, like their family member's injured, I understand that, you know, you could get somebody to sign something when they're off balance. Okay. That's not hard. All right. I mean, they've got all kinds of techniques for doing it. So I guess there's going to be, the chance for abuse here is going to be very, very real. And,
possibly, but you'd have to have some sort of twisted morals to like, go and look for somebody that's not dead and go, oh yeah, he's pretty close.
If ever there was a pilot project that I wanted to have like an over the camera shoulder surveillance camera mounted on every team member going through the entire process and it's categorized, I'm okay with this, but I want helmet cams on everybody and they don't get shut off. Right.
Yeah, a little bit of cross-checking going on. But, you know, if I'm dead, take all my organs. I don't care. Put them to use. Get somebody else living again. That's great. But, you know, if I'm not dead, I don't want somebody taking my vital organs, please.
Well, don't worry, man. I would never let that happen unless I was really hungry and then I would eat them.
That's true.
And as long as
it helps you.
lungs are good. They're a little gummy. A little gummy. And there's really not much to the lungs. They're sort of a little chewy. Tracheas are nice, though. There's a lot of Ukrainian recipes for that. Oh, too soon, too soon. In gate rape news, Nephilim sent this one in. Freedom of Information Act, filed by former Congressman Bob Barr, seeks to discover where the Department of Homeland Security has been keeping tabs on the Drudge Report and other prominent media outlets who have spearheaded a nationwide revolt against invasive TSA airport security measures. Now, because I was in the Army, I know all about, you know, the total loss of privacy and, you know, basically being treated like an animal. So it doesn't really bother me going through these,
right?
You know, I'll strip naked, walk down the middle of the place, drinking a cocktail, being like, morning, what's going on? Yeah, they want to check, make sure I don't have a torpedo up my ass crack. Yeah, that's fine, whatever. You know, it doesn't bug me at all. But I can understand why people would be upset with that. You know, I can see why, you know, especially if I was walking around naked. I can totally understand that. But the point here is that there's a lot of people that are upset about it because they don't like being treated like meat. Like, people don't like that. Now, they're starting to call these people criminals and terrorists. They're starting to wind up on no-fly lists because they're being labeled this way.
They got something to hide. They got something to hide if they don't want to, you know, bear it all and be, you know, bombarded with radiation and looked at nude on scanners. There's something wrong with that person, and they're a terrorist. They're resisting the authority of the TSA.
Exactly. Now, the request that these guys put out seeks to ascertain whether any of these names have been linked with the term domestic extremist in reference to a reported TSA memo that was leaked last week, which, according to Doug Hagman, officially addresses those who are opposed to or engaged in the disruption of implementation of enhanced airport screening procedures as domestic extremists. So this is the new communism. This is the new McCarthy communism. This is the new Red Scare is going to be domestic extremism, which is kind of, I think that really every American I've ever met is a domestic extremist. Anybody who flies a flag on everything. Jesus Christ, I've never seen so many flags in a country as you do in America. They got flags on everything. They're so into America. And it's great. You know, they're like, America! You know, they're screaming at the sky.
You know, and the founding principles of America are awesome. Like the freedom.
By definition, you know, the kind of guy who puts a hand on the heart, I'd call that guy a domestic extremist. He's really, that's like patriotism. A patriot is a domestic extremist. Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Straighten me out here. Now, I'm not picking a fight, all right? I really respect people that are into their country. You know, personally, I like the Finns. I like the Finns. I think that if I could be born in any nationality anywhere in the world or have heritage with one group of people, I think the Finns are pretty badass. You know, that whole Russian-Finn thing. I think those guys are pretty, and their policies over there are pretty great too. But you know, I digress. The point here is that, you know, America is founded on what America is founded on. And the Americans who are trying to stand up for what they believe their country is about are being called, you know, extremists and terrorists. Yeah. And it's starting to be put them in jail.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And you know, yeah, America's done a lot of really shitty things in the world, okay? You know, and their government's done a lot of really shitty things. But I don't think that really the rest of the world should just let, you know, the government do that. You know, like treat their people like that. I suppose they're treating the people like that in China. Maybe it's just America's turn, but I don't know, man. You know, it just seems wrong, you know?
Like, my whole cynical view on this is it's, you know, same old thing, follow the money. It's all about selling this equipment. There's huge money in this equipment, and they're trying to prop up the reasons to sell this equipment. It's like, oh, there's so much domestic extremists out there, and they crow about what they found in people's pockets while going through these things and searching and patting them down. They hold up the crack pipes, the pot that they found on the people. Nothing dangerous. Just pot and stuff. That's all, and some pocket knives. That's all they found.
Right.
And they throw away your bottles of water into a garbage pail because they say it's dangerous on the airplane. Well, what are you doing piling up a whole garbage pail full right where people are lining up if it's dangerous? It's ridiculous. It's
beyond
it's
ridiculous.
Theater security. It's nothing. It's about selling these pieces of equipment by the former head of the Department of Homeland Security.
Of course, the big cash in. Yeah, and it's kind of sad that, but the thing that I'm starting to notice here, though, is they're using this example as another way to label those who question, you know, things like the Georgia Guidestones, people who question whether or not 9/11 was an inside job, people who maybe might be concerned that there's something crazy like UFOs, or maybe archaeology doesn't really, maybe shit didn't unfold just like we've all been told it did. Yeah. Maybe you're crazy yourself, but you know, being crazy isn't a crime. And these days it's a necessity to get anywhere and to really accomplish. You can't show me one person, so-called great person in history, who wasn't totally psycho, like nuts. Like completely, you know, very, very intense people, you know, and the really great ones are like really nuts usually. Like Einstein, are you shitting me?
You can't even follow them. They're all
They've got the math brain on the go, and it's ridiculous. And, you know, there's a second part to this in everyday terrorism news. I put this one here. The actor Mark Ruffalo has been placed on a terror advisory list by U.S. officials after organizing screenings for a documentary about natural gas drilling.
What?
Do you know about this movie? Because I don't.
No.
And I don't give a shit. I don't even care. I don't even care about him as an actor. But I'm so some no-name B-list actor made some shitty documentary ripping on natural gas. But whoa, what do you mean? Now he's on a terrorist watch list? Now he's, have you now or have you ever been involved with domestic extremism? The Zodiac actor arranged showings of Gasland earlier this year and voiced his concerns about the practice in the relation to the national water supplies, saying that gas drilling was bad for the water, I guess, or something. But in his efforts to raise awareness, demand to stop to natural gas drilling reportedly attracted the attention of officials from Pennsylvania's Office of Homeland Security, and he recently discovered that they'd landed him on a terror alert watch list. Can you believe
so being a
that?
Documentarian being yes. a documentarian yes. is terrorism now.
Yes.
Investigating anything about corporations or governments will land you on a terrorist watch list now.
Of course.
Because you're questioning authority.
You're a domestic extremist. Why don't you just focus on getting along? Like at Christmas. It's Christmas. Just get along.
Why?
Shut
consume.
Your mouth. I know. It's freaky. It's freaky. And now
proceed through the lineup and let us touch your junk, please.
You know, and like I've never been so happy. Bah. I've never been so happy that I shut down cult as I am right now. You know what I mean? Because everyone's like, what are you worried about, Sean? I'm like, no, don't ever be involved with it. Are you kidding? The thing was called Kennedy's Uber Elite Terrorist. Terrorist was part of the title. No, it was a funny idea. Bad idea. Everyone run away. Run away.
Yeah, they wouldn't even have to try to find them.
Oh my gosh. You know, let's not make it too easy.
Terrorists. Oh, here he is.
Anyway, you know, so the message here, the moral of the story, kids, is keep your mouth shut unless you think the person could be turned. And at that point, it's your business to get them as much rant media as you can feed them, and we'll do the rest. Give me the week, and I will take off the weight. Don't you worry. We'll get them out. They just gotta, if they can listen to the show and they think it's, hey, that guy's kind of funny. Awesome. Ha ha. Load them up. We'll get them good and corrupted. Yay. They'll be thinking for themselves in no time. No one's gonna follow me. No one can keep track. And in tracking news, good segue, companies are developing a digital fingerprint technology to identify how we use our computers, mobile devices, and TV set-top boxes. WSJ's Simon Constable talks to senior technology editor Julia Angwin about the next generation of tracking tools. He's off to a good start. So far, Mr. Norris' startup company, Blue Cava Incorporated, has identified 200 million devices. By the end of next year, Blue Cava expects to have cataloged over 1 billion of the estimated 10 billion devices. So this guy's got an app that goes out and fingerprints your computer, mugshots your computer. Mm-hmm. Advertisers no longer want to just buy ads. They want to buy access to specific people, period. They want to buy access to specific people. So Mr. Norris is building a credit bureau for devices in which every computer or cell phone will have a reputation based upon the user's online behavior, shopping habits, and demographics. He plans to sell this information to advertisers willing to pay top dollar for granular data about people's interests and activities. Device fingerprinting is a powerful emerging tool in its trade. It's the next generation of online advertising, Mr. Norris says. It might seem that one computer is pretty much like any other. Far from it. Each has a different clock settings, different fonts, different software, many other characteristics that make it unique. Every time a typical computer goes online, it broadcasts hundreds of such details, such as calling card, to other computers that it communicates with. Tracking companies can use this data to uniquely identify computers, cell phones, other devices, and then build a profile of the people who use them. This is called a bugging device. But they're explaining it differently. Until recently, fingerprinting was used mainly to prevent illegal copying of computer software or to thwart credit card fraud. Blue Cava's own fingerprinting technology traces its roots unlikely back to an inventor who, in the early 1990s, wanted to protect the software he used to program music keyboards for the Australian pop band INXS. Wow, have you ever, like, fallen from the tree? Tracking companies are now embracing fingerprinting, partly because it's much tougher to block than other common tools used to monitor people online, such as browser cookies, tiny text files on a computer that can be deleted. So, I think that's pretty invasive.
Yeah.
That's like...
Pretty much.
Reasons to learn Linux. You know, that's one thing we were talking about before the show. If you could just get over the command line, if you could force yourself over the command line, get yourself back to zero, you know, renounce your faith and get onto some Linux, do a little bit of work with it. You know, you could get around a lot of this stuff. Because realistically, if you expect to have any kind of freedom online whatsoever, you're going to need to learn how to use things other than Windows. That's just a fact. And it's unfortunate. Yep. Right now, you could do it without it. Now, people are like, whatever, Sean, you don't know what you're talking. Okay, yeah, I understand that now you can. Now there are people who are going to be able to use proprietary operating systems like Windows and Mac, and they can listen to the show. But very, very quickly, it's going to turn into something that, you know, media is going to get more and more locked down. And I know, Sim, that you'll be doing as much as you can to make sure other people, like, maybe we'll fall back to BBSs and whatnot. But there's going to become large segments of the population who are going to become isolated, and we're not going to be able to reach anymore, not because we can't get to them, but because they can't get to us, because they're going to be the Web 2.0 generation. And that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing, I think, you know.
Yeah, we'll be on the dark nets, and they won't even know about them.
Which is why it is so vitally important. Although our advertising scheme of word of mouth is one of the slowest schemes around, it's very hard to stop. It's the plague rats of advertising schemes. Every single WOG, the people who are WOGs, who identify themselves as WOGs, the people who get it, okay, the people who understand what we're doing here, once they get it, that which is got cannot be ungot. You know, you can't stop it. It's inside their head. They're going to think for themselves until you die.
Sticks with you.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to stop these people. And these people now understand that their life is up to them, and they can make decisions, and what they choose to do today will determine what they do tomorrow. And it really is a lot. There's a lot of things you can do in your life. And they're not going to stop, and they're not going to be dissuaded no matter what these folks do. And it's not about an allegiance to us or me or anything. It's just about, you know, being flexible and being able to survive and thinking on your feet. Now, these bastards over here, you know, he's going to go and fingerprint everybody's computer, and it's kind of sick and weird, and I think it's totally invasive. I wouldn't let people drive by my house. I mean, Google got sued for this, and this bastard's doing exactly the same thing, only he's just doing it over cables rather than through the airwaves. It's disgusting that he's got a piece of software that does this. I mean, this is, I think that's a huge privacy intrusion, like a massive privacy intrusion. Are you kidding me?
And until it's illegal, we got to take care of ourselves and protect ourselves and know how to go against this by, you know, getting cookie blockers and JavaScript blockers and be able to take down our footprint of our browsers when we go to websites.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I guess, well, you know, if you're not on Firefox, you're not running Adblock, you're not running NoScript, you're not running all these programs that are available, you know, and you're scanning your shit like every day. Like I scan my stuff every day. It's crazy. And what is that even bringing us? You know, I wonder sometime about these computers. Now, I know you're going to froth at this next story, Sim, this Electrosmog. I know you hate this, but I think that you're not looking at this honestly. I think that there's something weird here. As winter arrives with a vengeance, last year's glorious autumn leaves are falling in our parks and our woodlands because of Wi-Fi. No, I'm kidding. But this week, this week came worrying evidence that Mother Nature is not the only force defending. Oh my God, they are saying the Wi-Fi is destroying the trees. Researchers in the Netherlands suggested that outbreaks of bleeding bark and dying trees have blighted the country's urban trees, maybe caused by radiation from Wi-Fi networks. Now so integral to life in offices, schools, and homes. As qualified electronics engineer, I'm not surprised by such findings. I have long been concerned about the harmful effects of electromagnetic radiation emitted not only by Wi-Fi devices, but many other common modern gadgets, including mobile and cordless phones, wireless game consoles, and microwave ovens. Much though as I love trees, and worrying though that I find this research, what really unnerves me is the effect these electromagnetic fields, or EMFs, are having on humans, surrounded by what they do with the constant cloud of electrosmog. Now, this is, I think it's pretty unhealthy to be constantly surrounded by cell phones and wireless signals all the time. I think for a while it's okay, but, you know, if you're living in a hyper-urban setting, I think and you're online, like, more than 8 hours a day in a Wi-Fi filled zone, you stand a very good chance of becoming a vegan. I think it's true.
It happened to me.
And all that implies. I think that honestly, it messes with your head.
Are bombarded by radiation all the time from the moment we're born to the moment we die before electrical devices were even invented. It comes from space. It depends on the wavelength and how it affects our cells. I don't have enough information about
the particular dangers of Wi-Fi, guys. But it's
No,
I do know that if I talk on a cell phone for a long time, I get a headache. It's personal experience. So
depends who you're talking to.
No, it doesn't matter who I'm talking to. But I like your line of thinking. However, no, it doesn't matter. I think that there's something to that. So, you know, I'm very careful with that. Make up your own mind. Now, the one really crazy thing about this is that it's getting some play, and I think it should probably have a little bit more play, especially now that they've got, you know, the scanners that are going in and at all these airports. And I never really thought about this too much, but the new body nude scanners, right? The porn scanners. That is the level of radiation that those things put out is pretty big. Like your daily hack this week is on that. It's on scanner dogging. It's a biochemist working in the field of biophysics. And he starts talking about what he thinks is going on with some of these backscatter scanners that they're using. And he goes on, he says, of specific concern of the scanner that uses X-ray or backscattering, in the letters they raise some interesting points, which I've quoted below. Our overriding concern is the extent to which safety of this scanning device has been adequately demonstrated. This can only be determined by a meeting of impartial panel of experts that would include a medical physicist and a radiation biologist, all of at which all of the available relevant data is reviewed. because these items have not been reviewed, really. Like, they're well, oh, it takes a picture. No. This is pumping radiation through people, okay? The X-ray dose from these devices has been compared in the media to the cosmic ray exposure inherent to airplane travel, or the chest X-ray. However, this comparison is very misleading. Both the air travel cosmetic and the cosmic ray exposure and the chest X-rays have a much higher X-rays energies and health consequences and are appropriately understood in terms of the whole body volume and dose. In contrast, these new airport scanners are largely depositing their energy into the skin and immediately adjacent tissue. And since it's a small fraction of the body weight volume, possibly by one or two orders of magnitude, the real dose to the skin is now very, very high. In addition, it appears that real independent safety data does not exist. There is no external testing of these devices. There has been no safety of these devices at all. So that, what? Grope. Yeah. So gonna go get groped now. There's good reason to believe that these scanners will increase the risk of cancer to children and other vulnerable populations. We are unanimous in believing that potential health consequences need to be rigorously studied before these scanners are adopted. So that is a very...
Obviously.
Yeah, but that's the medicine. Okay, yeah. So... as your daily hack this week to overcome some technology, do not go through the backscatter. Do not. Apparently, no. It's
go
like
for the groping.
It's doubly bad for women. I'm not even kidding. Like, it sounds like it's set up for a joke, but it's not. It's like causes like wicked breast cancer. There's like huge, and a lot of professional people travel like all the time. I guess you better pay that $170 for the magic sticker, otherwise we're gonna kill you with radiation. You know, that's a hell of a sales tool right there. You could either be groped by super sweaty glove guy, hot, that'll be cool, or you can go through a ride through the Popcorn Maker 6000 there, which I think would be fun if you had popcorn kernels in your pocket and you went through the backscatter, and if you started making popcorn, that'd be kind of fun.
Pop.
Yeah, that'd be neat. Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So that's
good,
that's
a little experiment, yeah.
So I think that I hadn't heard that angle, and I never thought to even approach it from that direction. I was just like, oh my god, look at what they're doing, and I'm like, wait a minute, how safe are these goddamn things that they're putting these people through? Because I mean, that's a lot of radiation they're pumping through dudes, and they're doing it a lot. And the person operating that, like the people who are working around these devices, they're going to be taking like an abnormally high, like the travelers, they're getting it, you know, every time they go through, and that's too bad. But the guards. Dude, the guards, they're going to be like, just, holy shit. Like, they're all going to get cancer and die. If this thing's putting out, like, that kind of radiation, what are the guards going to do?
Very
like,
frightening.
Yeah, I mean, okay, they're dicks, but they're just trying to, you know, make a living and go home to their families and stuff. They shouldn't, you know, be killed for it. Like, come on, seriously? Your other piece of daily hack is an interesting thing sent in by Weird Wolf called a rim check. Which, you know, before we degenerate into 4chan. The rim check, a recent number of governments have threatened to ban Research in Motion's BlackBerry services if the company does not make encrypted BlackBerry data and other content available to state authorities. A major concern of these regimes is that BlackBerry data can be encrypted and routed through servers located outside their jurisdictions. Unconfirmed reports have circulated that RIM has made data sharing agreements with India, Saudi Arabia, and United Arab Emirates. Other countries are also requesting the company locate data centers within their jurisdictions. You are invited to participate in a research project designed to gather information on how traffic exists on the BlackBerry network, depending on the country in which the user is located. The findings from this will be published and made publicly available. This project is being conducted with the Information Warfare Monitor, and the website is maintained by Citizen Lab at the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. Very, very interesting project. Very interesting project. Mm-hmm. So if you know anyone who might be a BlackBerry user and they might have be interested in something like this to determine, you know, what's happening with their data, that's something you might want to check out. And, that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to stay out of the goddamn camps. It's been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, that's okay. People make jokes about it now. It's like, whatever, yeah, Sean wants money. Yep, Sean does. We need your donations to keep going. Otherwise, we're all going to die. But Only if you can afford it, because that's why it's a free podcast. But what's more important than the cash is that you get this information to people. Somewhere out there, there's somebody on a Mac who has no idea that we exist. You know? Well, you know, they got iTunes. We're on iTunes. They might be able to find us out there.
That's true.
But, yes. You know, there's people out there that maybe aren't even online. And I know that I've got, like, a lot of fans that aren't online, actually, which is kind of neat. I always enjoy that. People who discover the show from a CD. Incidentally, anyone listening to the show right now who discovered it, not through online means, who actually discovered it through planted media, like they found a disc. Because a lot of people have done that. So I've often wondered, has anybody found the discs? And then, you know, come to the show that way. Because I don't think I've ever heard a story like that. So if you have, could you get me at newsreel@rantradio.com? I'd love to hear your story. And you know, it'll be good fun for the show. So that's why, of course, distributing the show is so important. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab anywhere on the Rant Media site. Or you can send us a present. Box 95089, 37 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. And, of course, big shouts out to the Army of the Flying Monkeys. The Army of the Flying Monkeys, the semi-cohesive group of WOGs that all work together for the greater good of freedom, for their assistance in gathering data. And if you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. Make sure you sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance, because that is some of the greatest music ever made. And now, gonna fade out with a track from Crudbump called Fuck You If You Don't Like Christmas, because I think it's pretty good. It's kind of a bizarre show, and I found it today, and I went, that's coming on the show, because my show, and I can do that shit. So, you know, it works out pretty well. Simi, what's going on? This is a temporal shifting now. We're recording it on a Thursday. We're meeting on Friday. Show's not going out until Monday.
Yes.
Temporal shifting. So, we don't even know what we're doing. We have no idea. It's all up in the air.
Not yet. A movie, at worst, as a backup. I won't be here next week. I am sad to say. Oh,
you're not what?
I will be away. Yeah.
What?
So I won't be here for the next show.
What show is that? What show is it?
Where?
That's the
Thursday show.
That's next Thursday. Oh my god, that's like an important show. I don't know why it's important, but it's important. I can't believe you're. I can't believe you're hanging me out there to dry like this. You motherfucker! I can't believe that.
Unless we do it on a Wednesday night.
Don't give me the, that's not the way it works, man. At Christmas, you played me like this at Christmas. Are you going somewhere for Christmas? Is that what's happening? Are you taking off?
No, it's just for that weekend. So.
What are you blowing me off for? Come on, you gotta tell me. Fess up. What are you doing?
Skiing.
Oh, you're blowing me off to go skiing! Drive your pole through my chest!
Oh, well. I don't have a good enough laptop to be able to do it remotely.
No, if there's anybody who should go skiing, it's you. More time you could spend outside, I think, is all the best. Yeah, some good exercise. You know, I would never fault you for it.
Freezing cold.
Lastly, because if you're not going to be going skiing, that which is, again, you know, you're going up into the snow and stuff. I'm impressed.
Well, enjoy myself before I commit to 4 months of schoolwork.
So, right. You know, right. 4 months. Fun. Like, that's a big deal. There's guys right now, they're like, 4 months, whatever, pal. Shut your mouth. I'm doing 9 hard ones here. I'm going to be a doctor. You know, 4 months. Jeez. Anyway, well, that's
my skills, you know.
I think you're actually going to pwn the school, but that's just me. This is me. I'm a fan. What can I say?
Especially looking at the manual. I just got the manual for it, the book. Yeah, I will pwn it.
Wow. Color me surprised. Check out how I'm all about the I told you so over here. About that over here. Well, you know, we're going to be expecting current updates. Your training in school is going to be one of the most heavily, like, the Vancouver Film School is never going to have as much publicity about their program as you are right now. They better be nice to you.
Well, it's not that film school, but...
It's not? Oh, okay. School. Okay. Well,
no, that one's like 10 times the cost of the one I'm going to.
Well, whatever.
It's
whatever.
Like the most expensive film school ever.
We'll just call it a film school in Vancouver. Not necessarily the Vancouver film school. But, you know, I guess they are pretty... I don't even know. I mean, I think film school is ridiculous. I think you should just get a camera and do it. I do. I think the whole thing's retarded.
Pieces of paper when you approach them.
It's like writing.
Oh, you've got a piece of paper. Come work for us.
Well, no, it's like writing. You know, if you want to be a writer, you write. If you want to be a movie maker, make movies. You're already... you're an award-winning filmmaker, dude. Why are you going to school now? You go to the school before you become an award-winning...
Like, that's... Backwards. I did it backwards.
Well, I did it my way. And remember,
I'll win the Oscar and then go to school.
That's right. That's right. Accept me now. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
You know what time of year it is? It's Christmas time. I gotta tell you something real about Christmas. Fuck you if you don't like Christmas. Fuck you if you don't like the Panamas and Isthmus. Fuck you if you don't like French fries. Fuck you if you don't like sweet potato fries. Fuck you if you don't like driving a car. Fuck you if you don't like riding in a car. And fuck you if you don't like antiques. That's right. Fuck you if you don't like dead people in coffins. I don't like them either, but you have to be respectful. Fuck you if you don't like compact fluorescents. They cost more, but you save the earth. Fuck you if you don't like staying up late. Fuck you if you don't like waking up late. And fuck you if you don't brush your teeth. That's nasty. Fuck you if you don't like Christmas. Fuck you if you don't like Christmas. Yeah, that's right, it's not even about Jesus, it's about the holiday. You gotta respect the holiday. Fuck you if you don't like Christmas and Kwanzaa. Fuck you if you don't like Eid and Hanukkah. Fuck you if you don't like Thanksgiving. You gotta be grateful. Fuck you if you don't like goodwill to men. Fuck you if you don't like presents in the den and stockings hung by the motherfucking fireplace. With care. Fuck you if you don't like working for a living. Fuck you if you don't like the spirit of giving. Fuck you if you don't like yams from a can. And fuck you if you don't like honey baked ham. Fuck you if you don't like eggnog. Fuck you if you don't like other kinds of nog. And fuck you if you don't like reindeer dogs. Fuck you if you don't like Christmas. 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 You know it's not even about, you know, you don't have to put up a cross. You just gotta get out and go to the mall. You know, we need different stuff in the economy now. Things are changing. You gotta get out to the mall and just go in the doors. And just open up your mind, you know. You gotta go down to the hat store, give the hat store some money. You gotta go and get some shoes. You gotta get some stuff for your table, man. You gotta get stuff for the Christmas table. No, you can use it on Easter. Multi-usage things, you can go down. You know, you go down to the candle store and you can use those if the power goes out. You just gotta spread it around. You can't just think of yourself. You can't just think of yourself just this one time, 'cause it's Christmas.